Foreign firms are getting a little more access to China. In New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. This week, President Trump heads to the G20 summit in Argentina, where he'll meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping to discuss ongoing trade tensions between the two countries. One of Trump's longstanding complaints, that China's too close to foreign competition. But guess what? Beijing took steps this week to open its largely controlled financial sector, as Marketplace's Scott Tong explains.
For years, Western insurers had to partner with Chinese firms to do business there. But this week, the German firm Allianz got approval to operate alone. And AXA, the French insurer, said it will do the same. Trey McCarver at the Trivium Consultancy says China's insurance and financial sector is underdeveloped, and Beijing is opening up so mainland firms can learn from the best.
More established foreign insurance companies have a lot to offer as far as best practices, risk management, professionalization.
Global insurers want a piece of the Chinese rock, where the market's growing 13% a year. Still, mainland firms have a stranglehold there, says Denny McMahon of the Paulson Institute think tank.
Regardless of a change in ownership limit that foreign firms now have, they're still going to find themselves relegated to a minority role.
But a bigger role. And Chinese President Xi Jinping can brag about that at the G20. Whether that appeases a U.S. president who wants an overhaul of the Chinese system is another question. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve already puts banks through stress tests. The Fed chairman regularly testifies before Congress about the state of the economy. And now add one more Fed economic report card to the list, the central bank's new semi-annual financial stability report. The first installment comes out today, as Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Fed's new published report won't name corporate names or blame specific banks for posing systemic risk. Instead, it'll delve into economic trends, investment practices, and new technologies that could destabilize the overall financial system. Greg McBride is at Bankrate.com.
The Fed has to be more dialed in to risks to financial stability as a result of what happened in the Great Recession, where not being tuned into those risks, you know, could quickly derail what are otherwise pretty positive economic fundamentals.
Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics says right now, risky lending to households and businesses is of particular concern to the Fed.
Growing risks in the non-bank sector, the so-called shadow sector, mortgage banks, finance companies, private equity firms, and corporate lending.
Petru says other potential financial risks are likely on the Fed's radar, ranging from the security of cloud-based payment systems to Brexit. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
President Trump is once again criticizing Fed Chair Jerome Powell. In two interviews this week, Trump said the Fed is a much bigger problem than China. The Federal Reserve has been gradually raising interest rates to try and prevent the economy from overheating, but Trump's argued for months that the Fed is tamping down economic growth. And now, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 3 to 4 tenths range, with the Dow future up 94 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 3.05%.
Marketplace goes beyond day-to-day business reporting to cover the big picture of the economy. We provide context and depth to connect the news to decisions that we all have to make, and we work very hard every day to ensure that our journalism is accurate and worthy of your trust. We don't do this work alone. We're counting on you to help. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount you choose, and your donation will go twice as far thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate today at marketplace.org.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Money can be a fraught emotional issue, especially for couples. And it turns out there's a group for that. The Financial Therapy Association is a group that's nearly a decade old. It represents therapists who aim to help people with emotional issues around money. Judith Kogan looks at what this business is about and where it's headed.
In 2016, Stephen Reed of Philadelphia and his wife Kathy sought help from a financial therapist for their diametrically opposed approaches to saving. When they talked about money, there was emotional discord.
I've often joked that Kathy will leave this earth with her life savings still in the bank. I, on the other hand, want my last check to bounce.
Kathy says that after three sessions, the therapy seemed to be working.
The most helpful aspect of the financial therapy has been that we've learned to listen more empathetically to each other when we air our views on money, regardless of how different they may be.
Megan Ford is past president of the Financial Therapy Association. She says many clients seek help as couples.
I think it's often an opposites situation, spender versus saver, the misalignment of goals around money, the differences in values between the two.
A 2009 forum that brought together researchers and practitioners from the mental health and financial services fields led to the creation, the next year, of the association. It now has over 250 members. The Reed's financial therapist is Maggie Baker.
And I see people that have what I would call a ruptured relationship with money. Money should work for them, but they kind of work for money.
Baker charges $175 a session for her services. Financial therapy is not yet a regulated field, but judging from their websites, other therapists, depending on where they live and their level of expertise, can charge between $100 and $400 an hour. Meg Lertz, president-elect of the association, says the group is developing a certification program that will require competence in both the mental health and financial services fields.
We want to bring a level of expertise and professionalism to people that are going to be calling themselves financial therapists.
The organization expects to have the certification process in place by the end of the year. In Boston, I'm Judith Kogan for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.